First Peter chapter 1, and verse 25, I'll read that and then we'll have a prayer and get started. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to be in the house, your house today. Thank you for these faithful folks being here as we look into your word. I hope our hearts to be encouraged by what you have for us today. I ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about the word, it says the word of the Lord endureth forever, as I talked about. It's going to be there even after we're gone. But it's also the word which we learn by, right? It's preached to us. How do we first learn about salvation? How do we first learn about God, creation, all the different aspects? How did we learn about God's word? It's through his word. And I usually like to ask, as the video mentioned, 75% of the world still do not have a Bible. So I usually like to ask how many people have at least two copies of the Bible at home. We'll see. It looks like, yep, okay. You're like everybody else, full crowd, full answer on that. And then we have digital options, right? We have our phones, we have our tablets, we have our computers. We are truly blessed to just have free access to God's word. But I also want to take a moment to hopefully remind us to not take it for granted. I know I do. I'm guilty of that. And also encourage you to share God's word with others when we have the opportunity. Not to be ashamed to share scripture. Our most recent project going out was to Cameroon, Africa. In Africa, you have two primary languages other than their own dialects, English and French. And Cameroon is one of the French provinces. They speak a lot of French. So we sent over, the numbers were all over the place, about, I think, 60,000 New Testaments in French straight. And then the missionary there had been asking for years, because as there's a lot of turmoil in Africa, there's a lot of things happening, there's a lot of refugees coming in. So they were getting more English-speaking folks into Cameroon. So then they were carrying English John Romans and French John Romans as they were trying to minister and reach. So he asked a ministry to help them put together the first English and French John Roman to be distributed over there. It hadn't been done to date that we are aware of through the ministries. He had a hard time finding it, so we sent about 80,000 of these over on that container also to reach the lost. We sent some English Bibles on there and new John Romans also to help fill it out. But they're blessed now. Instead of walking down the street saying, do you speak English, do you speak French, they can just hand them a booklet and reach the folks. So it makes that aspect of giving God's word a lot easier to them. But as we do that, when you have a copy of God's word to share and be able to give it to them, you know, it's just two books of the Bible, John and Romans, but there's so much power in God's word in just those two little books. If you ever have the time, you think about it, just read through it. I started reading through John, and I'm still reading through it about 4 months ago, because the more I share the message and the more I talk about it, I'm reading it, and I'm just like, wow, there's just so much in that book of John, that even just to get started, to get through to the end of it is a lot. And I know Romans already, with the Romans Road, it's going to take me even longer to kind of slow chew through that portion of God's word. But I want to look at what we're doing, and I don't really have a Christmas message for you today, but I'm going to Christmasify my message, okay? Is that all right? As we talk about giving God's word, we're giving it out. So we are giving gifts. And then through this year, that's what we usually like to do. We like to give gifts. We like to encourage people, bless people with donations. Our church for our missions conference likes to give gifts to the missionaries that we have there and make it a early Christmas, because usually it's mid-November, and give to the missionaries and their kids a Christmas time. So people, and they get behind it. Our church just overwhelmingly does a great job of that and gives greatly to that cause. But as we think about giving, Acts 13:7, if you want to turn there, we can turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 7. And as I mentioned, I will try to Christmasify this here a little bit. I'll have to change the titles of my points a little bit, so they may not be as polished as before. I'll find out later on the ride home from my wife, but anyways. Acts 13:7. So this is just the story, and I'm just going to read the very first verse to get the title of what I'm looking to do here. which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And that's what I want to look at. They desired to hear God's word. Out there in the world, as we mentioned, 75% still do not have a Bible. They don't have God's word. And there is a strong desire to receive, to hear God's word, as it even in this time. So I'm going to change that to they have a wish list. There's a wish list out there. And it is true. As we get the experience to talk to folks and hear from missionaries, the amount of people, the requests we get for scriptures, people are like, how do you get the requests? I'm like, they just come in. There's folks that have a need. They're in a realm, as I shared, putting together English and French, John Roman, nobody had really thought of that before, but they had a need. They had people that were looking to minister, to give to folks, but they didn't have the proper gift. They didn't have what was on the wish list, you know, exactly what it was. So they were looking to give God's word, and our ministry was able to help with that, to put that together, to give them a better gift to give out so people could receive it. And as it mentions here, he called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Back then, there wasn't much written. The Bible wasn't written at that point. And when it was written, it took up a lot of space. They had scrolls. They had big, giant parchments of the word, of God's word, and the Pentateuch and the law. Everything was written. So it was very difficult. So they took somebody who knew it and was able to share it, and that's how they kind of heard from God's word. Even to this day, there's some countries that don't have a written language and they only can speak it. So there are ministries that are putting together audio files so people can play God's word, so they can hear God's word because they aren't able to read it at this point. But there is a desire. They are wanting to hear from the word of God. There is a strong desire as we find out, and we get more and more doors open to us, more and more requests. The one in that video, there was a lot of Africa representation. Malawi, Africa is a tiny little, I don't know if anybody's good with geography, landlocked portion of land in Africa. It's not very big compared to Kenya, Sudan, and all the other larger countries, Uganda. But there's a strong There was a strong oppression for a while. It has opened up through the leadership and rulers, and they want God's word. The missionary there had been handing out John Romans, and he was starting to have Bible studies with the police officers. He wanted to sit down, and he would give them a Bible if he had one, but he only had a handful of Bibles. We can put about 300,000 John Romans in a container, and we can put about 70, 75,000 whole Bibles in a container. That's the size and quantity difference. And when you're talking millions of people, obviously doing the John Romans, we can reach more people more effectively. And they did with about two containers. And then the police force commissioner called him in and said, I know you're having Bible studies with my folks. I would like to give you to give each one of my officers their own Bible. Could you do that? And he said, well, I'll see. Our director went over, and we sent another shipment over with a few more Bibles that we had. Our director was able to go there, and they got called into the commissioner's office again. He's like, Ovi's the missionary's name. Are you able to get Bibles for all my officers? It's over 16,000 officers in Malawi, a little tiny country. And he's like, well, let me check with my guy in the United States. He's like, okay, can you do that? And she's just staring at him, waiting for him to do something. I'm like, well, it's not. So he kind of hesitated for a moment, then he finally just turns to Tim, who's standing beside him, and says, Tim, when can we get some Bibles? He's like, I hate to do this to you, but this is my contact. He's over there visiting. In the meantime, then our director, Tim, reached out to a ministry here in the United States and said, what would it take and how soon do you think you could print 70,000 Bibles or 80,000 Bibles? And they said, well, we'll get back to you. So Tim, I don't know how long they were there, a few days. He gets back, he lands, and not more than a day after he's back in the States, that ministry in Tennessee calls and says, we have your Bibles ready. Where do you want them? And he's like, how much, how many, you know, and he's like, well, we have them all printed, we'll start putting them together, and we're like, well, what, I says, no problem, the Lord bless, we're going to donate all the materials so we can put this container together. On average, a Bible would cost about $3 for the materials. So at 70,000 Bibles, you start doing the math until shipping and everything put together, roughly about $100,000 for that container to go over. But the Lord provided. That ministry put together about half of them. We did a custom cover for them, specifically for the military. It represents that. Inside, there's a page they can write their name as they give them their first Bible to be as there is an officer putting their life on the line regularly for the people, to be an encouragement in that way and just watch the Lord bless that opportunity. And we're already getting more requests. They want more. The military has found out about it. They want some. And I think they have like a National Guard too or something that they really want for the help. They want God's word. It's just amazing, the desire of that. And they specifically are requesting. Can you imagine, you know, going to the, you know, United States? It's hard enough to do something for our officers. I mean, I know some people try to have blue Sundays, blue and white Sundays, and try to reach out. There are individuals that go to the office, buy them donuts or something, you know, and coffee, and have a time for them. But how it's hard in America to do that, because they don't know. It's just not as well received. But over there, they're willing to take the time, sit down, and hear from God's word, and they're excited to have their first Bible. And just when we look at that aspect of it, Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, this is one of my favorite verses out of Jeremiah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Do you remember that time when you first were introduced to the Bible? You read the Bible. You accepted the Lord as your Savior. You remember the joy and rejoicing that was in your heart for that time? When these folks are receiving the Bible for the first time, they are able to experience that joy, that excitement through God's word. They didn't have that. They didn't have that encouragement, but now they do. So the desire to receive is strong. There's a big wish list out there. I needed to correct my points, for around the world of people looking and waiting to receive God's word for the first time. And then I want to, the next point kind of, it goes, there's a desire to give. If you're still in Acts, if you just turn over a couple of pages to Acts chapter 8. This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. I don't know if you're real familiar with that. But if we just look at a couple of verses out of here. So Acts chapter 8, verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So look at that portion of it. So the desire to give. Philip, obviously, the Lord, this is a unique circumstance. It would kind of been neat to maybe talk to Philip a little bit how that happened. that was kind of, after he's done, he's back where he was, starting all over again. But God showed him, this man who was struggling, to read God's word, to learn from God's word. And God shared it with him, and Philip ran to give. And I think about these missionaries and people that we work with, and we're constantly getting requests that are giving out this missionary Ovi, as I mentioned, in Malawi. He is actively producing or reaching out to get the materials that he needs to help the people in that country. His heart is strong, his desire. As we mentioned, there's several missionaries that are receiving the container in Cameroon that we work with, we know. They were just looking for a better way to help reach the people that are out there. They're giving their time, their resources, their money, whatever they can to help get God's word into the hands of individuals. And they're doing it they're trying to do it as quickly as they can. Obviously, putting together Bibles takes a little bit of time to put together that many books, layers upon layers. It took us probably a couple of months till we got through all that, and then it's a couple of months to get it shipped, and then a couple of months for it to arrive. So it could take 6 to 8 months, 9 months if everything goes smoothly, just for that transition to go. Where a lot of us are spoiled by Amazon, right? We could just click on the app and order it, and it's on our doorstep the next day. Or, I don't know, do you have drone delivery out here? I don't know. I haven't been in an area yet but to see the drone delivery. But I don't know if it's worth that extra. But sidetrack, side note, squirrel. But to be able to receive quickly is, you know, they're not blessed, but they are waiting. They're anxious to receive that. And we have the folks that are willing to give. I think a lot of us, we like to give, right? I mean, you like to meet the needs of someone. You like to bless them. As kids get older, my youngest, you know, she's not very young anymore. But anyways, it's hard to give them gifts over Christmas. I want to give them gifts, but it's not easy because it's a lot more expensive than it used to be. And she's a poor college student, so she's like, God, cash is fine to pay for college. So she's fine with that too. And then I can't say much because I'm very difficult to buy for. As you get older, your gifts are a lot more expensive, especially the red and white tools, right? The good red and white tools. But anyways, I told my kids, just give me gift cards. It'll help pay for what I'm already asking for. But as we like to give gifts, we also like to receive gifts too, a lot of us. And to be able to give a gift that will change their life forever is just neat. I have lots of stories about different people working, but the one that I'll share today was actually our 46th language that our ministry worked with. The Lord allowed me personally to have a full interaction of this from start to finish. I didn't make it to the country to hand them out, but I was able to make sure that we were able to get the first time for them a copy of a New Testament in their language. Anybody familiar with Mexico, Chiapas, Mexico, the hill country down south, east, up in the mountains? There's a group of people called the Tzeltal Indians. They held on to their Mayan descendant, their native language. Very few of them actually speak Spanish. And they had some portions of scripture loosely translated, but not very well. And they worked hard. They met with a missionary who had been teaching them Bible classes and studies and asked them to help them put together their own Bible. So they started with a New Testament, and they diligently worked on that. About 7 or 8 individuals worked on it for about 6 years, I believe. It was 5 to 6 years that they worked on translating from the original text their own New Testament. Once they got that done, they put it into file format, they created a cover, and then they asked the missionary to help them get it printed. I was at a conference in upstate New York, in the Finger Lake region, and a pastor that was there attending the conference said, you need to go talk to this missionary. He needs some help with producing a Bible. He's got some folks that are looking for a Bible. I'm like, okay. We were only maybe a year and a half. We were pretty wet behind the ears in the ministry. And I was like, sure. I'm like, let's do it. They need a Bible. Let's get them a Bible. We'll figure it out. So I talked to them. We went through different aspects. And I reached out to a couple of the ministries that help us do the printing. And I found a company, or found one that would be willing to help. And it took me a good year just to process, to get through all that, till we got the files where they were. And then they also said, well, how much would it cost? And I said, well, probably about $2 to do a New Testament. That's the material cost. If you can raise some of the funds, we'll see what we can do to help get funds to do that. So this gentleman contacted several supporting churches. They raised the funds to do 20,000 New Testaments. So 2 times 20, it's like $40,000 to produce that, which that's a lot of money. But the Lord provided it. We got the materials. And it was a hard battle from the get-go, because the minute we were able to get them the file they needed to the press broke down. Surprise. And then when they were finally off the press, we asked them to ship them to us so we could put them together, all the materials. The truck broke down. We were waiting on that. And so another individual helped a little bit. We finally got them into our shop. And then we had binder issues running and putting them together. I had to replace a couple parts that we never had to replace on that binder since we've had it in 1988 or whatever it was, 89. And so we slowly kept going at it. We got it. We have some young people that put it together. And we were able to assemble the first New Testament in the Celtal language. If you look at it, it is not Spanish. It's not French. It's not really Latin at all. If you know Native American languages, you would see you recognize some similarities into that realm. And it's just neat to see the whole thing. Wow, sorry about that. Everybody awake now? All right. The whole cover, they purposely designed it for their people so that the minute, if you are a native Celtal, you'll recognize this cover and know it's for you. They specifically wanted them to be able to pick that up and be like, hey, I know what that is. That's for me. And it's so it was ready. We got them all ready, 20,000 of them. Now we have to get them to Southeast Mexico. I contacted a friend who ships, and he said, well, I can get them to the border. And then there's a gentleman who runs two trucks a week, north and south, through Mexico, delivering scriptures. He'll deliver them to a guy who's all the way at the southernmost part. And that guy said he would take them then with his own pickup truck and a trailer, haul them up into the hills, and deliver them on his own time. So, oh, great. Well, guess what? Think some trucks broke down again? And they did. So another month or so later, we finally have these things down to the gentleman, and he scrambled last minute because anybody's familiar with Latin culture, they like to have celebrations. They love to celebrate, and they wanted to celebrate receiving God's word. They had this big, and they kept pushing it back as the deadline changed, but finally, like, we really want to have them by this time. We have it set up. We have a big, big event planned we're going to do. It worked. We got them there through that gentleman who personally used his personal time and vehicle through the hills. And it's not easy terrain. It's a two-day trip to go 300 miles. I mean, pretty much, I think we drove almost 300 to get here. So, in just a couple of hours. And if you think about that he used to get them there, and they did. And then the other neat thing, we know why there was such a battle to get those there. Their first celebration to have this, they told people around 9 o'clock they were going to start a celebration that they could come and receive their first Bible. Well, before 9 o'clock even rolled around, they were lined up the streets around the block. You think Chick-fil-A has grand openings? Well, nothing compared to what they were waiting to receive God's word. They waited patiently, and they gave away around 1,000 New Testaments that day. And a little tiny town, a little tiny village, people were able to receive for the first time a copy of God's word that they can open and just read. How spoiled we are. We can open it. We can understand. I mean, some people say, oh, the king, you know, the king's English is a little difficult or whatever. Oh, get a dictionary. just figure it out. Ponder it. There's things to do. But to be like, if I were to throw, you know, have a Bible that had random French words or Spanish words or Italian words in there, how would you... It'd be hard to understand. It would be very difficult. But now it's completely their language, able to read it, able to share it, witness to others. I just, when you think about the men that did that on their own time, I like to go home usually after a long day of work and just relax, right? It's kind of what you do a little bit. Unless the yard needs mowed, which right now the driveway probably needs shoveled or de-iced. But these men and their spare time and caring for their families and taking care of them were putting all their extra time into this translation for their people so that they could leave something for them. And that's where I again go to God's word will be around even after we're gone. They knew that. They knew that they could leave something behind for the families and the individuals in their lives. They had that desire to give because we know God's word changes lives. And for 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You think about that time when We put off the old man and put on our new man when we had salvation, we accepted Christ. We think about the power of God's word to change our lives in that way. I think about our verse, you know, we call our ministry Bearing Precious Seed, Psalm 126, 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When we go forth, are we willing to weep? Are we willing to shed some tears for these individuals? Are we willing to make sacrifices as we reach a lost one or a loved one in our life to give them God's word, to share with them? As I had asked, how many people have a couple copies of Bibles? You can go to the dollar store. I don't know, nothing's a dollar at the dollar store anymore. Anybody notice that? But I don't go there very often. So, but in actuality, if you look at some of the basic paper copies we have on the table, it's about $3 for the materials to produce something like that. That's pretty cheap, right? $3? I mean, I think everybody here could probably spare $3, right? To buy a Bible and give it to somebody. It'd be pretty easy. Because we spend $5 or $6 on a coffee, right? Oops, ow, I just stepped on my own toes. Ah, man, preached at myself that time. Ah, anyways, we can do that. So even if you figure, you know, $5, that's pretty easy to do. In Malawi, as I shared, they average, depending on what level of an officer you were, it could cost you anywhere from a month's salary to, I believe, about, well, actually 10 to 12 days of your salary to a month of your salary just to buy a Bible. And when you're already living paycheck to paycheck, barely putting food on the table, how easy is it to save money to make a large, to them it's a large purchase. I don't know how many people here could just walk out the next day and buy a car, but you know, to them it would be like buying a car. It's an investment, something they would have to do. And they would work for it, and it's hard to come by. There just isn't a lot of them on the shelf. Other countries, it may just cost them a week. Some cost a month. There are other countries that they're so poor, they could work a year just trying to save enough money. And then there's also countries that it could cost them their life to have a Bible or to give a Bible. And I have stories on that, and we're running out of time. I don't want to keep you much longer. But we think about, what are we willing to do to give God's word to others? Our ministry is, that's what we do. We're looking to give God's word into as many hands as possible and do that. But if you can remember the time that you receive your first word of God, when you first started memorizing God's word, you first opened the Bible and the joy you had, the rejoicing, if we can just kind of keep that in our mind as we move forward and keep that desire and willingness as we go forth to help share with others. And our ministry is happy to help. Like if you're looking for some booklets or John Romans or New Testament's Bible, we're happy to help you get those at an affordable cost and give them to folks to help witness and reach them.